I'm Karen Hartglass. You are listening to It's All About Food. I have two amazing plant-based stars with me. Actually, they're plant-based women warriors. Anne and Jane Esselstyn. The Esselstyn family is three generations plant strong, encouraged to create recipes without dairy and meat. When her husband's research pointed to the impact of diet on reversing disease, Anne Esselstyn began feeding her family creative plant-based meals more than 30 years ago. She and her daughter, Jane Esselstyn, are bolts of energy from the same strike of lightning and have become fierce, big-spirited advocates for a plant-based lifestyle, reaching hundreds of thousands of fans throughout their previous books and their popular YouTube channel. At 86 and 56, respectively, Anne and Jane are pictures of ageless health and vibrancy and spend their days hiking, doing yoga, gardening, cooking, and spreading the message that diet is the key to living a happy, strong, and disease-free life. Be a plant-based woman warrior explains how women everywhere can pass on this important legacy in their own families through the generations and illuminates how plants powerfully support a woman's body and mind. This cookbook is a call to action and a message of hope for any and all to be plant-based women warriors filled with vitality and in control of their own health. Authors of the new cookbook, Be a Plant-Based Woman Warrior. Thank you for joining me, Anne and Jane Esselstyn.
You need to read the subtitle. Live fierce, stay bold.
Eat delicious. Live fierce, stay bold, eat delicious.
Live fierce, stay bold, eat delicious.
Yay.
Now, the last time I spoke to both of you was back in 2014 when you came out with the Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease Cookbook. And I had both of you and Caldwell Esselstyn, Essie, on the program, and it was really a lot of fun.
Thank you.
So here we are, 8 years later. What's new? What's new and what's changed?
Nothing's changed except where the whole world has changed. And we all know all about that. But we actually, speaking of that crazy change, it happened in 2020, is that we were fortunate enough to, right when things went sideways in March, somehow we got our book project. And that's what we worked on together.
And cool and wonderfully, we live next door. So it's so nice.
Not across the street.
Next door. I love that.
Pine Needle Path.
Yeah. So we had this to work on once we knew it was safe to go to the grocery store.
And then Dane was going to the grocery store for me a lot of times. So it was very nice.
For my mom and dad. Yeah. But anyway, our project is this book, which we're so excited about. And it's, as we said, the title earlier, Be a Plant-Based Woman Warrior, Live Fierce, Stay Bold, Eat Delicious. For me, it's a complete tip of the hat. It's an ode to my mom because, 40 years ago, when my dad came home with this theory about how to really
this passion.
Well, it was a theory about he worked with breast cancer patients and he ended up reversing all this heart disease and followed with research was going. And sure enough, he's like, we're not going to eat any meat or dairy or oil or salt or sugar or fat, or we just sort of all this stuff at once. And my mom, who had, you know, four kids who were athletes at home and a full-time job teaching, she just picked up the helm from there and went forward and has not stopped. So she has been this incredible force and this amazing plant-based woman warrior who has lived fiercely and stayed incredibly bold and somehow fed us all delicious food for all those years. So this project for me is a tip of the hat to her and an ode to all that she's done, because if my dad had to do it himself, we would maybe all be eating toast.
No, we wouldn't be eating toast. We'd be being eating for breakfast, only one thing, one meal, breakfast, oats.
Raw, not cooked, raw oats with oat milk on it. And he hadn't even discovered that. We still may have been eating raw oats with apple cider on it.
Yeah.
That's what he.
Right. Agreed. I remember putting apple juice on things before plant milks were popular.
Exactly. That's how we started.
So,
right.
And in fact, back then when we started, there was no internet. I mean, it's sort of hard to imagine.
Yeah.
I know. I was there. No internet.
No recipes. Where do you live?
I'm in New York.
You're in New York. So
I went vegan in Israel.
Oh, that's a good place to do it. They're good. They're good.
They have hummus.
They had no, yeah.
That's right. You had hummus. But I'd never, you know, we happened, interestingly enough, I grew up next door to a family who had spent a lot of time in Turkey. So I knew very well about hummus. From them.
But you never fed it to us as kids.
No, I mean, I ate it there, but it was something I ate there. But when, you know, then it's become our mayonnaise. I mean, it's the basis of everything or lots.
I mean, I had never eaten like beans, like legumes. I remember going to college and being like, a bean burrito? Like, what's that? Green beans in a burrito? Anyway, so we've
okay.
So far.
Well, I mean, burrito. We didn't know about burritos, gosh sake.
Well, the whole world has pretty much evolved in terms of food. And there are foods that we didn't know about 30, 40 years ago. And burritos are pretty well known, whether they're bean or meat or whatever. I didn't know about a burrito. Nobody talked about burritos when I was a kid.
I mean, you lived in New York and West, you know, that was something you ate if you lived in the West.
Right. I didn't know about avocados until I went to college.
No, exactly.
Anyway, I think that story of that transition is a book all in itself, and perhaps you'll come up with that at some point, because
we talk about that in this book. I mean, the book has a long what do you want to call it? A long intro or preface?
Yes, there is a very nice intro about it. I think a lot of people struggle with, I think the biggest difficulty with transitioning is the social life, the family members, the relatives, the colleagues, and you had this great nugget of support together. I mean, I don't know what it was like in those first few days or weeks.
She was alone. We were kids. My dad was, you know, working and had a theory. She just made it happen. And like all 20 of us in our family are now all whole food plant-based. I mean, from age 7 to 87.
But you know what? I think the problem today, it's interesting. I actually feel really sorry for people going plant-based today, because the vegan junk food world is so tempting that you are actually, and I just saw a study where you are worse off in eating vegan junk food than if you are eating the standard American diet.
Yeah.
And I totally believe it.
We talk a lot on this program about what happened, who co-opted our plant-based healthy eating movement.
Plant-based didn't get co-opted, but plant-based for sure. I mean, aluminum foil is plant-based. It comes from the earth. It's a, you know.
But you know, the whole thing of Beyond Meat,
Impossible Burger.
I mean, yes, they are wonderful because they help save the planet, because but it's not saving human lives if you're getting that much oil, that much coconut oil, that much
processed
stuff.
It must drive you crazy, because it drives me crazy, because we have the answers to most of the entire world's problems when it comes to chronic disease, environmental disaster, and cruelty to animals. We got it all covered.
But trying to make a buck is what, you know, we're kind of all wired to do in America.
Yep.
Someone wants to make a buck on
value-added products.
This whole thing.
Okay, yeah, let's go back to this Woman Warrior book, because...
Well, I want to quickly tell you my favorite burger. And that is just a portobello mushroom. That is delicious.
Almost as delicious.
Not even in the cookbook. Is it in the cookbook?
No, but our favorite burger is in the book, which is the Woman Warrior
burger. Well, yes.
Which we had recently. And it's really delicious.
Yeah, I like backing up and keeping it as simple as it can be, right?
Yeah.
And then you learn, your taste buds learn how that's like the most yummiest you could have. Hey, okay. So I'm going to highlight a few things. The first thing I like, I'm going to read this. You have a page that says, "We women, plant-based warriors, eat plants, swim in open water, live with energy and spark, are imperfect, help friends move, do cartwheels or try to, plant gardens, read, get it on, feed our microbiome, do handstands or try to, ride bikes, take hikes, dance, prance, move our bowels, feel unbridled, believe the best is yet to come." That is a plant-based woman warrior.
Yes, those are exact. Those are things that we've all do and done and continue to do. And we hope that everybody can feel that way. And we don't really want to limit this to women necessarily, but
sure.
I said the reason that, and people tend to focus on the women part of this book, and that it's completely legit. And we mean it, like, again, tip of the hat to my mom and to all women, because the majority, not everybody, but the majority of households, communities, places that feed people, you know, from homes to homeless shelters, those are women, the majority, not everybody. And those are the ones making the choices, preparing the food, figuring out what to feed people. And if we can do, if we can just be fierce about feeding more plants to each other, more whole grains, greens and berries and legumes whenever we can, then we are going to make the world a healthier place. And we women, or those behind the controls, again, I don't mean to genderify it, but if those of us who are in that control seat can steer us to a healthier planet, that's the number one goal for all of us. And also, as far as women, I want women to be plant-based women warriors, because being an American female, being born in America as a woman, you're kind of born with this mindset or burden of what is sort of expected of you as a female, and having this body and having this identity and having this gender, that if you identify with it, and it is a load, it is a burden on your mind for so many women, so many of us. And I know that being plant-based, I lost this term my friend of mine calls food head. And food head, she just refers to, like, she wakes up and she thinks, what am I going to eat? What am I going to wear? How can I look good? How do I feel good? I feel so bad. I hate my body. But how can you get out of that, like, food body identity head? And she said when she went plant-based, she started to lose that and not feel it. And I thought, oh my gosh, that's a wonderful term for what I started to feel when I was in my mid-20s, when I started eating more, when our family got going whole food plant-based, and I started getting on board with that. It felt so great. And I was a nationally ranked swimmer, and I was crazy fit, strong, you know, athlete. And I had that same mindset going. Here are my brothers, who are also nationally ranked great swimmers. They didn't think for a minute about what they ate, or their body, or their size, or how they appeared, or how they looked. Maybe just like, oh, how good do I look?
Right.
But I was wasting so much of my life and my time. So to lose food head like that is just such a liberation. So I want everybody to be a plant-based woman warrior about who they are, their identity, how they feel, how they themselves, how they show themselves to the world. I mean, here we are. Luckily, we're not on video, because we're both just, this is how we look all the time.
Fabulous.
She was in the garden. I just got back from a run, but I threw a scarf on to look a little cha-cha, and that's all you're going to get.
A chain, well, cha-cha and a scarf all the time.
I know.
I like this story of waking up in the morning and what you think about. Sometimes I call it the belly of dread, because so many people wake up with this feeling of dread. It's a difficult planet to live on. People are full of anxiety, and wondering what to eat along with everything else is really difficult. I woke up this morning and I had this big schedule ahead of me, and I thought, I've got strawberries in the refrigerator. I can't wait.
Yay. Well, I wake up in the morning, and I, for the first time in my life, I love my breakfast. I feel it has got every single thing in it I want to eat for the day. And it's in our book. And it is just so good that it starts. I mean, if nothing else goes right food-wise, or if I'm traveling or whatever, I feel set for the day.
And which recipe is that?
Anne's and warrior oats, and it's
of course
pale or greens, and it's
Anne's warrior oats.
Beautiful. Anne's warrior oats.
Turmeric,
nutritional yeast, sriracha, flaxseed, chia seed, steel cut oats.
I mean, it's just everything I love. And I feel so empowered with it.
Yeah.
I love that. I just wanted to say that I do cartwheels.
Yay!
And I do. I got an A+ on your list, so I was feeling really good about myself.
Jane was just doing. Jane just had a camp, a Well Now camp
for plant-based women warriors.
Plant-based women warriors, and she was doing cartwheels across the
dance floor, were so many other women.
And I truly would have done cartwheels, except I was putting on my cross-country skis. Thought my feet were in them.
Back in March.
This was in February. And I backed up and fell in the snow. I was fine, but there was a big hole and I hit it and I tore a rotator cuff. And that has been such a slow healing. So I'm
so But fine. It will heal. Because you are a plant-based woman warrior.
You're right. It will heal.
But it is, Kathy, I'm so glad to hear you're doing cartwheels because that lots of women are out there who can do them. And we have to keep doing them to keep that our bodies doing it and our muscle memory. And yeah, maybe our legs aren't as straight or don't kick as high, but it's just so fun to still do that.
It's fun. And you feel young and healthy and full of energy.
Yeah. And so I would love that, like our camp, you know, Camp Well Now is just for anybody who wants to come and it's a blast. And you have, I mean, from 30 to, we had someone who's 90. I mean, it's usually 30.
Practically 90.
No, no, it's, that was someone brought her mother. And it was so fun to have just the spectrum of women from maiden to maven. What's it called? Maiden. Mother to maven to crone. Anyway, the whole spectrum of women were there. It was great.
I want to talk about some recipes in a minute and some testimonials. I have a long list of things, but there are some pictures of the cookware that I assume you use, the Le Creuset, the porcelain coated cookware. Do you have anything to say about that?
I've just loved it. And I love that wall that it shows. And
those have been there for a millennium. That's what they cook at. That's what
and the thing with. I like about Le Creuset is I'm always burning it. And so when I have when I've damaged it, they often replace it. Now this time, my last replacement was something. They replaced it with something four times the size. It is the biggest Le Creuset thing I've ever had. And I don't quite know what we'll put in it, but it's gorgeous.
You can make a gingerbread on it. It's so big.
I love the line Le Creuset. It's wonderful to cook in and I haven't burned anything yet, but it's good to know that they'll replace it.
I've burned almost all of them. I don't know how, like growing up as a kid, clean those pots. It's as beautiful clear. And then the black area over that she's.
But quality products, they do stand behind them. So
yeah, that's right.
That's very good to know. Okay. There are a bunch of testimonials of people who have eaten this amazing plant-based whole food diet and have reversed their diseases. There was a story about Patricia from 2014 who was being treated at the Cleveland Clinic.
Yeah.
And then she ultimately discovered the Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease book and that whole way to live and turned around her illness. But I was just surprised that even at the Cleveland Clinic, they're still promoting a normal way of treatment rather than a plant-based diet.
Yeah.
The world is catching up and there are certain people that are believers.
Yes, more and more people are accepting the whole food plant-based approach. If not touting it, they're supportive of it. So
I just think I hate to say this, but I think some of the old timers just need to kind of retire and let the new people come in because it's going to be the future.
It is. And what's so exciting is that Congress just passed something that's saying that medical schools have to include nutrition prevention in curriculum.
I did not know this. When did that happen?
In the last few weeks. Yeah.
And
really, that's fantastic.
As soon as that happens.
And ACLM is really a part of that, which is great.
American College of Lifestyle Medicine.
Yes. Excellent. Yeah, I know they've been working on trying to get nutrition questions, plant-based nutrition questions on the medical exams, because then the professors will teach it.
Right.
Well, speaking of these testimonials, we have 10 bazillion emails, testimonials, as you know. I mean, you probably have heard just as many. So it was really for us to choose which to put in the book. We wanted to do a little bit of each sort of category of illness and people that we intimately knew and knew their story, pre and post sometimes even. So the ones we chose were just autoimmune, heart, weight, diabetes, and then some
Multiple sclerosis.
MS,
I love Dr. Stancic's story.
Oh, that's great.
And you have Char Nolan's story in there, who's just, she just took off when she discovered this diet, the proselytizing that she is doing, the training she is doing.
What Char has done to spread the power of plant-based eating in Philadelphia is extraordinary.
Not just Philly.
Everywhere. She dominates her community and the world.
And she's been a longtime friend of ours for well over a decade. And also just fertility. We have many people we know, and some, like I said, the ones we know intimately, have reversed that situation with, especially with fibroid growth in the uterus.
Well, I appreciate that you speak about women's issues in this book.
The whole section, like how plants properly support women. We're not a women's health book. We just say, hey, this can help you with your breasts. See Dr. Christy Funk. This can help you down here. See da-da-da-da-da. This can help you with blood flow. See da-da-da-da-da. So we have references to all the places, because this is a cookbook, but we're like, hey, we will not let this go by without letting us mention.
Jane has been and is
a middle school
sex ed teacher, and she has gotten that into the book, but she is extraordinary. And
well, below the belt, do you mind if I go below the belt?
Please.
So yes, we can talk like in all latitudes of things, that how plants powerfully support women in so many ways. And it our heart disease, our autoimmune diseases, our weight, our body weight, all this stuff. And that's all sort of supportive, secondary, tertiary, or overweight can be insidious, having a weight issue, as you know, and it feeds in inflammation and all that stuff. But what I'm trying to get to is below the belt. I talk about it just frankly, that discussing female anatomy from a front view, it looks like this. You know, you can't see me. I know this is a verbal podcast or with audio. I'm acting like my hands are the ovaries and my arms are the fallopian tubes and my body is the uterus. Like, it looks like girls are like, what are you talking about? Why? All the boys were giggling when we talked about the boy stuff. What's the big deal? Where is this even live in my body? There's no sense of identity to it. So my whole point is you have to turn the body sideways. And once you get the woman's body sideways, you can talk about everything from front to back to front. And if you go from front to back, it's C-U-V-A, clitoris, urethra, vagina, anus. And
Kuva.
It's not a word. Kuva. And we have t-shirts, everything. Kuva. But my whole point is, starting in the back there, A, whole food plant-based diet, you're not going to be dealing with hemorrhoids because you're not going to have the need to push or have that come out. If you've had babies and that's already expanded, that's an issue. You're not going to have an issue with diverticulitis because you're not going to have, again, the pressure from having to push a bowel movement. And you're not going to have constipation, which is, I think, an issue for billions of people or something. So moving forward, then vaginal health, there's so much to support vaginal health from, I don't want to get too carried away with all this stuff, but vaginal health, I mean, we have good blood flow. We've got increased lubrication because of blood flow is what wraps around the vaginal, the old term is the vaginal barrel, to help lubrication happen when women's aroused. Again, it's plasma from our blood flow that makes lubrication, which is our sign of readiness. And above the vaginal space is the endometrial lining, the uterus, the ovaries, which only are benefited from a whole food plant-based diet and supported by so many authors. Again, Christy Funk is one I love to cheer about. And in urethra and kidneys, huge benefit from not having an overload of protein, not having the impact of all the bacteria from especially chicken, which, as Dr. Michael Greger talks about, chicken being this reservoir of antibiotic resistant bacteria within UTIs. And, you know, you can pass a UTI from the back to the front, to the front, to the back, and depending on you and your partner. And of course, C, the conductor in front, all the clitoris, the clitoris, the clit, that tissue is the exact same tissue as the head of the penis. So blood flow there, which is only engorged a little bit with, can you tell her to
keep going.
Blood flow increases there with a whole food plant-based diet is wonderful. And we're all made of the same Lego. So even though it doesn't appear like we have the same tissue that men have in their penises, the shaft, we actually have that on the pelvic floor that goes up from the clitoris back around the vagina. It was discovered, I'm doing air quotes here, it was discovered in 1998 and as if women have not been around since 1998. Wow. But it's called the crura, and it goes up backwards like wings almost, and wraps around the vaginal space. And those are the same tissue, the same corpus cavernosa as the shaft. Anyway, it all benefits from a whole food plant-based diet.
You didn't know you were going to get this, did you?
I love it.
Below the belt. It's good stuff. I know I'm such a physical, whatever, gesture.
First of all, I'm glad that you're teaching what you're teaching. I've been reading some articles recently about parents that are pushing back against sex education, and it's so important. Knowledge about everything is important, scientific-based knowledge. But, yeah. You know, we're in these crazy times. And I am an advanced ovarian cancer survivor, and I got it when I was a plant-based vegan whole food eater. And all I can say is I look back and I attribute it to my environment and tampons and things that happened to me a long time ago. And I'm alive only because of what I eat. So wow. Medical community did their part. And then my body took over and said, okay, that's gone out clean over.
Wow.
Wow. Well, that's,
and
that's
had you been eating plant-based for a while before you got
Yeah. I mean, it takes like 20 years to develop. So you never know. I mean,
So it was funny. This was in 2006, and I had been vegan since 1988 and vegetarian longer. But I had problems when I was a teenager that nobody even wanted to talk about, heavy menstruation, and something was wrong a long time ago. And then I just added to it by using tons of super tampons, three at a time. It was crazy. So I got a big load of dioxin, and, you know, I realized this all after the fact, but when the first surgeon opened me up and I thought I had fast growing uterine fibroids, I didn't realize I had cancer. For the next 3 days when I was in the hospital recovering, he kept saying, "You are so clean inside. What are you eating? You are so clean inside." And I thought, so great. I'm going to make it.
Yeah. Well, clearly made it.
I did not know that. Well, hooray, you were plant-based.
Yeah. So this wonderful diet doesn't prevent everything. We're all going to die. My dad used to like to say, no one gets out of this world alive, but we want to live a long life, a long quality life.
Right.
And minimize the risks as much as possible.
Yeah. I mean, look at your vitality, your singing, and your
doing cartwheels.
Cartwheels. Yeah.
Doing cartwheels.
That's awesome.
We want life
live long.
Rectangular, not that slope at the end, but just
live long, die fast.
Okay, your guidelines, your plant-based women warrior guidelines are based on no meat, no dairy, no added oil. I'm going to say that again, no added oil, minimal salt, minimal sweet. And you say that oil consumption increases the risk of heart disease, type 2 diabetes, and obesity. We just don't use oil. Do you want to add anything to that? People always freak out about not using oil.
Use oil.
It's really simple. And we had someone at WellNow Camp last weekend, she said, she has a great Southern accent. I can't do it. She said, it's so much easier to be 100% in than to be 99. It's so easy.
It's so much easier to be 100% in
than 99%. I'm going to read it because she was so good. Oh, 100% is easier than 99%.
I agree.
You will.
Yeah.
Don't add it.
And you can, as you show in your book, you can caramelize onions and make all that wonderful
Yeah, things
onion, don't taste goop, the same. We're not trying to adds everything.
Don't taste the same, but we need to adjust that governor in our mind.
The exciting thing is that your taste changes. I mean, you know that. You love cheese, and now, I mean, the thought of cheese is almost is just revolting. And you loved, salty things. I can't salty things. I can't really buy a soup anywhere, even if it's plant-based, because it's got too much salt in it.
Come on, a French fry is a disaster. I love baked fries, but oil-based French.
We got some shredded potatoes, just like shredded one day. We had to do a demo, and we didn't, and there was a potato shortage oddly during the supply chain. It was like, I don't know, earlier this spring or fall, winter. We got these, I don't even know what the, I'm glad I came out of the package, but they were shredded, and we made them because we couldn't get potatoes anyway. And the package, it was so salty. We all thought like, oh, this had to have been like the bottom of the barrel at the factory. Something's really wrong. But then I think maybe people actually consume this. Salt water from the
even
sea.
Even Jane's husband, Brian, who has the salt gene.
There's no salt gene. He likes pretzels. He likes, you know, things with salt. Salty. Okay. He can handle it. We can't handle it.
Mm-hmm. The salt gene. I love that. Okay. You specify in some of your recipes that they are heart disease friendly and some are not, unless you admit the nuts or the seeds. Can you elaborate on that?
I think it's kind of clear. Each recipe is obviously listed in the book. And if, for example, we have a salad that you is this beautiful salad, then we say, hey, toast some pecans or walnuts. Actually, we'll probably say walnuts and put them on and enjoy it. But, you know, to make this more heart disease friendly, just don't put the walnuts on and enjoy this whole huge salad and use these dressings. So we just offer a little tweak here and there to make sure people who are kind of following our story, who are on board for the whole heart disease prevention and reversal program, they can still use a majority, big majority of the book. Almost all the recipes say heart disease friendly or heart disease friendly if you make it with this and not that. Some of them don't even say they're heart disease friendly because we have like a cashew pesto, I think. And we're just like, no.
You know, know that my husband has been so successful with his heart patients by being so strict, I guess, by
consistent
putting up the walls, you know, with no avocado, no nuts, and no coconut type things. And those patients just thrive. So lots of recipes use cashew for cashew cream, which is lovely. But, you know, you could use cannellini beans instead.
But heart disease patients really do need to keep their selves consistent and on the path.
Well, there is a lot of science that shows that there is some nutritional benefit to consuming a small amount of nuts and seeds in our diet. Yeah, and if we're not heart disease patients, it shouldn't be a problem, right?
Right. And we're not heart disease patients. And this is what we eat. This is not a book this is a book
for everybody.
Women warriors, everybody.
Right.
Men, for kids.
For kids.
Anybody.
Well, I think that was a message that may have been confused when the Prevent and Reverse Heart Disease book and cookbook came out. A lot of people attributed Dr. Esselstyn to no nuts and no avocado, but specifically that's for heart disease patients.
And that's
wonderful.
That's how we mostly eat. I mean,
he puts walnuts, a few walnuts on his cereal. I mean,
it's a world of difference if you're really looking for that.
You've got heart disease and you call my husband and say, I've been told I need a bypass, but I don't want to have it. All right. You don't want to have it. Then you are on a really tight rope. You stick to this or you'll need to have bypass. And so he has discovered that when people go off, then they get the angina back or whatever happens. So it works.
It's amazing and it works. Period. Okay. I want to talk about some recipes. So the first one that I just picked out that I just tickled me was the apple flax flapjacks. I had a pause to say that apple flax flapjacks.
That was such a fun one. And I'm glad you picked that one because my daughter, Kryle, she made that one. She loves making pancakes. And she got that gene from me. I love pancakes as a kid.
Jane grew up on pancakes.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yes. And Kryle is our publicist and everything. She's got such creative spin she puts on everything. So she took apples.
Oh my gosh, excuse
and
me.
Put them, 1 minute. Put them.
Watching Kryle just make her cereal or we're doing something, she will put the raspberries just so and a little nut just
all
so.
All her kids do that.
Well, all kids, but I mean, I noticed this Kryle and Bainan does it too. Okay.
No, anyway, the point is this recipe, she would put in thin slice of apple. Like when you put the batter down, you put a thin slice of apple on it and then put a little batter on top. So when you flip it, you have an apple slice in your pancake, which is
it's so fun. I love that it has the hole in the middle.
Right. It looks a little bit like a
bagel.
Bagel half. Yeah.
Definitely fun. And you don't even need to put anything on it because the apple sweet, it's just all right there. I like it. And I love apples. I want to just express my gratitude for apples in this moment, especially when the pandemic started. I started doing an apple a day. And then I thought, well, if an apple a day is good, I'm going to do 2 apples a day. And we were getting all our food delivered and it was mostly apples. I was getting a lot.
How do you eat them?
How do I eat them?
How do you eat them?
Well, I do like my partner, Gary. We both prepare a lot of food, but when he prepares food, he makes things look more beautiful. So he always likes to slice them thinly with a hole in the middle and then, you know, present them. They're just so lovely. But I'll have a breakfast bowl in the morning with apples and strawberries and flax seeds and whatever other fruits I have. I might sprinkle a little oat in there, not always, but the apples are always there. I just have to have them. And then I've added apples to soup to sweeten it a little bit, and then apple breads and apple muffins, and I've made a gazillion different kinds of apple cakes. I have a tarte aux pommes that I love to make because I lived 4 years in France and I kind of learned about how they make their apple pies, and then I kept modifying it, and I have my no sugar added, no oil, of course, plant-based apple pie, and I just love apples.
Great.
That's all. Okay. Original marinara and the boyfriend bolognese. And I just want to add, it has no oil in it. And so many people talk about making tomato sauce and marinara, and even some health articles talk about how the oil and the tomatoes, you know, they really make it super. And you're both shaking your head. No.
It's just unnecessary roughness. It's just not needed.
And go out and try and find pasta sauces today on the grocery store with no added oil.
You can't.
And you really can't.
No.
A few places have them, and then they have so much sodium. So you do need to, use this book.
The marinara is just so easy.
It's true. If you're looking for a commercial marinara, there are some that have no oil, but they compensate with sugar and salt. So mm-hmm. you lose.
And you have to drive all over town to find it. It's just
all right. I'm a nut for pesto, and your book has numerous pesto recipes. Mm-hmm. Pesto is just perfection, and we don't need oil.
Right. And this is a tricky one because I really wanted this to be available for heart disease patients because pesto is so yummy. And we have offered in other books, we've made pesto with cannellini bean as a base. And this one, I was just like, you know, this is going to be either cashew or avocado. At different bases, or maybe walnuts, whatever people choose, but they are just delicious, rich pestos, no matter how you slice it. And you can do it with basil, parsley, or even cilantro.
They're all good, but I love basil.
Oh, I'm with you.
I just love basil. Okay. So Is there a recipe with apples and basil? I haven't tried it, but I'm thinking I love apples. I love basil. Maybe there's something there.
Well, try it.
Let us know.
Or just a thin slice of apple, maybe with a little lemon and then basil.
I'm thinking. Yep. Sounds good to me. Now you have a bunch of tips in the book, and one is the romaine dippers. And you say, if you're on the road or just don't have time to make a salad, use romaine hearts to add an easy green to your day. Just twist off the bottom romaine, your powerful plant, strong hands, arrange the leaves prettily in and use them as dippers to eat with chili or hummus or any dip dish that needs greens. You can't beat that for being easy. And I'll tell you, as a performer, I'm not always in a place where I can prepare in a full kitchen the meals that I like. And this is a lifesaver.
And the cool thing is about romaine, and I don't know, I'm sure everybody who gets romaine, if you get the three hearts and they're sitting there and it's 3 weeks and it's been there 3 weeks or 4 weeks and you pull it out and you know what? They are still okay. Now, the other day I had two grandchildren came and I had had hearts of romaine in the refrigerator probably maybe a month, maybe more. And so they saw it, they pulled it out and they threw it in the trash because they said, this is rotten. And I was horrified and I went and took it out and I just peeled off the outside leaves and we had that for dinner. I think they were a little hesitant to eat it, but you know, romaine has got a life of its own.
Yeah, she can live forever. Just peel off those external layers and she's good to go inside. Yeah.
Yeah. You have dressings and sauces and dips.
And Jane is the master mistress of all sauces.
Sauces are where it's at.
You're the saucier. Yeah.
Sauces are where it's at. You know, give me
anything. Absolutely.
Sauces make all
sauces where it's at. Now you have a sauce called the baritone dressing.
When
you say, if this dressing could sing, you write, its tone would be deep and soothing. Dress your salad with it and sway with these delicious tones, bite after bite. Did you want to talk about the baritone dressing?
We love it.
Jane made a salad the other night with a baritone dressing and she had a beautiful rest of the meal. And I thought, you know what?
All of us just wanted more
salad.
All
I want is the salad. And I don't think I can take my fifth helping without taking too much before. I mean, it's amazing.
It's great.
So I'm a soprano.
You will love
it. And what would a soprano dressing taste like? Maybe tart, bright.
The baritone was just, yeah.
I don't know. Being silly. Okay. Another apple recipe. You have the apple lidded sandwich.
Oh, that is such fun. Have you tried that? You're going to not believe how delicious it is. It almost doesn't matter what's in it. That apple sliced on the top makes it so fresh, so sweet. It's stunning. And you can pile it high and just press it down.
Because it acts like a top.
It's like a lid.
Yeah,
it is.
Yeah, love it. Right. I love it. There you go, my apples. And another one is the rock around the clock grilled wrap. I love things like this.
Oh, this is just so fun. And we actually did an Instagram about it and kind of showed how to build it because sometimes still photos don't carry it, but it's just so great how you put, if it's a clock face, every 15 minutes has a different filling. So you put, let's just say hummus in the first 15 minutes and you put purple cabbage in the next, 15 minutes to 30 minutes. So when you fold the top 15 over on top of the cabbage, it sticks. But then you have this, thick layer, down there and you fold it over to the next 15 minutes that maybe have lettuce in it. And then your last 15 minutes, you fold them over top of that and you suddenly have this great quarter. Again, my hands, I'm being so visual, sorry. It's just so fun and you grill it or don't grill it. And it's delicious, warm, crispy on the outside and full of all kinds of good yumminess on the inside.
I have a bunch of recipes that I wanted to mention and I'm also watching the clock. So I don't think I'm going to get to all of them, but let's talk about the cauliflower fritters. Now, cauliflower is a thing now. It's really a thing. It's really been elevated as cauliflower rice and cauliflower pizza crust and for these buffalo wings, some kind of spicy coated cauliflower. Now, this recipe you say is from plantbasedindianliving.com.
Yes, a wonderful website that I really want to.
Cauliflower fritters, and they just look really, really yummy. I've got a big head of cauliflower in the refrigerator, and I know what's going to happen to that one.
Make sure you have enough coating, because I don't know how big their head of cauliflower was or how big our.
Sure.
Because I know you can get these like hydroencephalus looking huge ones, and you can get little ones. So basically, it's just, it's a great coating, and it's baked on, and they're best served warm, as all of us plant-based people know. And I would really suggest having it with the cilantro mint sauce.
Oh,
from earlier in the sauce section, because that is a great compliment, and it's very much supportive of like an Indian.
Of course, you could do basil instead of mint.
I know. I would say cilantro mint because of the flavor profile. No,
yeah, I'm getting the cilantro. I'm getting how well that would go. Beautiful.
They're really just yummy, warm.
Warm. I got it. Okay. Another one is the build your own bowls. And I want to read, you wrote, the word pelvis means basin or bowl. Symbolically, what is more womanly and powerful than the pelvis? What it creates, what it holds, family, life, pleasure, vitality. And bowls are another thing these days. And I love bowls. What is it about bowls?
I think it's actually quite interesting because I think it has to do a little bit with us all. Like, I love the whole pelvis thing, but bring all back down there to the undercarriage that I love to talk about. But the bowls really are something that, you know, we all, not just women, but we all at the table, we all at Chipotle, we all at wherever are building our own. And it's making everybody have to be at the helm of making their decision about how they're going to go forward. So it puts everyone in the driver's seat in a way. These build your own bowls. And I love that it isn't like, oh, where's my dish? Where's my plate? What am I being served? It's build your own bowl, people, person, woman, man, however you identify, because I think that's going to be our best chance going forward and offering healthy, wonderful things. You're going to make a great choice with a great sauce. You can't lose.
Exactly. So I also highlighted sweet potato and cashew ricotta lasagna, and open face twice baked potatoes. And I wanted to note that what's wonderful about the twice baked potatoes is that the resistant starch in a potato goes up when you cook it. And then when you cook it a second time, you have more of this resistant starch. So that's like a bonus. One thing I love about this.
What I love about those potatoes is that I use Yukon Gold, but the secret of why I think they're so good is I also use a huge Japanese sweet potato, and that gives it a whole other flavor.
Yeah, they're so good.
So good. And then lots of nutritional yeast, and it's just a great combination.
Okay, there's some great desserts. Everybody loves desserts. I highlighted the Xander tart and the peanut butter gelato or ganache.
Oh, those are both so good. We started making this book and we had about 6 breakfasts, 7 lunches, a couple of sides. We had 44 desserts. We knew we were on the right path. So, and that Xander tart, we kept remaking. And that ganache, oh my gosh, it is the scoop out in that photo. That's exactly how good it is.
But I also have to say that it was during COVID and my husband and I were not out at all, and so at night we started watching TV.
Yep.
So we would be watching TV and the door would open and it would be Jane with another version of
out of sight brownies, 12 versions,
and
I'll
tell you, I was like a Pavlov dog. I'd hear the little jingle and I can't wait.
Wonderful. Well, before I let you go, I do want to mention your photographer, Corinne McKenna.
Karen McKenna.
She is brilliant. She is an astounding photographer.
It's really important to see photos of recipes, I think, and they all look really beautiful. So
thank you.
A shout out to Karen McKenna.
She did a great job.
Well, Jane and Ann, you are awesome women, plant-based warriors. Thank you for writing this book and being you.
And you are also amazing plant-based woman warrior. Good.
Yay,
so us. Cartwheels.
So please, you continue to live fierce, stay bold, and eat delicious.
All right. Thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye. Can we talk a few minutes about the word warrior? Obviously, the definition of a warrior is a person engaged or experienced in warfare, right? That's the first definition. But the word warrior is changing because we're using it more and more often figuratively as someone engaged in some sort of struggle or conflict. A warrior can be a person known for having courage and skill. And in the case of a plant-based warrior, we are in a struggle. We are in a struggle against the food system, who's continually putting out commercial, manufactured, industrial food that not only isn't good for us, but isn't good for the planet. And if it's animal-based, it's damaging to the innocent animals that are exploited, tortured, killed, in order to go into some of these products. So we are in a conflict. We are in a struggle. And what I love about being a plant-based warrior is that whole, minimally processed plant foods are the perfect fuel to keep us strong, vital, energized. This diet and this lifestyle help us manage stress. This diet and lifestyle keep us strong and energized. This is the best way to fuel ourselves in order to stay in the struggle, in order to keep going and feel good while we're doing it. I also like that there are warrior poses in yoga. So for those of you that are familiar with yoga, of course, these names are for poses that we have in yoga in English are translations. But we have proud warrior, brave warrior, exalted warrior. And these are standing poses in yoga where the legs are held apart and the arms are stretched outwards, either up or out. And these are great poses that really help you feel confident and courageous. I know I do. There's also a book by Dan Millman. Have you read it? The Way of the Peaceful Warrior? It's a really great story. It's a fictional story, but it's based on a certain amount of truth in his own life, as all good fiction stories are. And there are a number of important teachings of the peaceful warrior. Don't take for granted what you can do. Don't be sloppy with your life. Devote your life to a higher purpose. Service to others. That's my favorite part, that we are here to serve. The warrior doesn't give up what they love. The warrior finds the love in what they do. There's a character in the book, The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, called Socrates. And Socrates works at a gas station, which we also call a service station, which is somewhat adorable. Because Socrates is teaching the character in the book, the lead character. And he's teaching the lead character how to be of service. So Socrates is literally working in a service station, being of service. Socrates teaches Dan, the character in the book, that the mind is the source of his dissatisfaction, and to become truly happy, he must stop trying to figure the world out and instead learn the difficult discipline of living in the moment, healthy and free. So that's The Way of the Peaceful Warrior, and it's a wonderful story. So I'm thinking of combining the way of the peaceful warrior and being a plant-based warrior. And here we are, we can be plant-based, peaceful warriors. And in my opinion, this is the only way to live. What do you think? Are you a plant-based warrior? Are you a peaceful warrior? Are you a plant-based, peaceful warrior? Thanks for joining me today, everyone. And in the words of Anne and Jane Esselstyn, authors of the cookbook, Be a Plant-Based Woman Warrior, live fierce, be bold, eat delicious. And in my words, have a delicious week.